you pray with me this morning? We just sang, Heavenly Father, Christ is the Lord, oh praise his name forever. And God, that's what we want to do. We want to, Christmas season and every season, praise the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. Father, we love you. We are grateful for you and for your love for us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we make much about birth at Christmas time. Naturally so, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And in our world today, when someone's expecting a baby, it's a really, really big deal. And we think about how to make this announcement that a baby is coming, and a lot of people put a lot of creative thought and effort into it. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've done a little bit of this yourself. If you've had a kiddo recently, I was sort of playing around this week, and I found several creative birth announcements. I want you to look at some of them on the screen. Just sort of laugh with me as we get rolling. The first one, go ahead and put it up there now, guys. There we go. Only child, right? That kiddo's time as the baby of the family are coming to an end, and his parents are letting the world know that a new baby is coming. Go on to the next one. Same thing, right? I'm sure that my youngest son wishes his big brothers would have read that book. All right, go to the next one here. Eviction notice, this little girl, she's losing her crib. Parents, again, they're announcing the birth of a baby, right? A new child is coming. A baby is going to be born. And before they show this next one, it might take some of you a second to get it. And so if you're having trouble understanding what the parents are trying to say, just read the words out loud, right? There's three words. Go ahead and put it up there for me, guys. You got it? There it is. Ice, ice, baby, right? A baby is coming. And listen, people do that all the time, and it doesn't matter how in-depth they get, how creative they get with these announcements. None of it compares to the announcement that God gave us of his son Jesus, right? That a baby was going to be born. If you've got your Bible this morning, open with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And just as a reminder, as a church family, we've been looking at this verse throughout the entire month of December. It was written over 700 years before that first Christmas night, before Jesus was born, and it's an announcement that God makes, letting us know that a baby is going to be born. And the beautiful part of this verse, God says, not just a baby, but I'm going to tell you everything that this baby is going to do. Look with me, Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's going to be born, God says. I'm making the announcement. And among other things that we've looked at earlier in the month, God tells us that Jesus will be the Prince of Peace. Now, don't forget, right? Isaiah 8 and 9 are right next to one another in God's Word. And in Isaiah 8, we see this people that did their own thing, that they turned away from God. They were separated from God by sin. They had no peace with God. And then as you turn the page to Isaiah 9, where we get this announcement of Jesus, that the Savior is going to be born, and he's going to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. He's going to give us, bring to us peace with God. And on the actual day that Jesus is born, that's the message that God sends to all of creation through the angels. If your Bible's still open, flip with me now to Luke chapter 2 as we look at the Christmas story together. You just heard it from our kiddos, but Luke 2, starting in verse 1, says this, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to be registered, each to their own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now, listen, for this trip, for Mary and Joseph, they were going around 70 miles. Not a big deal for many of us, right? A lot of you traveled more than 70 miles to be, or you're going to travel more than that to be with family this Christmas season. But for them, it wasn't an easy journey, right? Especially with Mary pregnant, but they still had to find a way to get there. Here's a quick Bible trivia question you can use this Christmas season. Do you remember how Mary got down to Bethlehem? What did she ride on? Yeah, so if you're thinking donkey, I'm just going to let you know your nativity set's tricking you, okay? She certainly could have, But we're reading the Christmas story this morning, and it's just not in there one way or another. All we know is that Mary and Joseph, they got there. They made it, and that's important because look at verse 6. It says, while they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him where? In a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This moment right here is Christmas, right? This is what the Bible talks about. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the eternal, born as a baby. This is the greatest miracle the world has ever known, right? God stepped out of heaven, and now he is with us to save us from our sins and to give us a peace that comes only when we know him. And it happened quietly one night in this out-of-the-way village, in this little corner of Israel. Listen, don't let Christmas become a routine for you. Don't get so caught up in the family traditions and the motions that you normally go through. Don't lose the majesty and the wonder and the glory of Christmas. I said it a few weeks ago, I'll say it again. Don't chase a feeling this Christmas season. Chase after Jesus. As we look in God's word, we see there's no huge celebration. We don't have mention of family gathered there with them. There's no friends that are stopping by. There's no Tiff Treats box of cookies with a big It's a Boy balloon that ends up there at the manger. We've just got this young couple, and they're overwhelmed. They're probably a little scared as they hold this newborn baby. You know, the first time, if you've got children, that you hold your newborn baby in your hands, think back to that moment if you've experienced it. It is an overwhelming emotional moment. Right, especially if it's your first baby. I remember with all three of my kids, as I held them the first time, the unbelievable joy that I experienced. But even in the midst of that joy, I was overwhelmed. And if I'm being really honest, I was scared. The doctor put that baby in my hands, and now I had to take care of it. And I had no idea what to do with a baby. And if you put a baby in my hands right now, not much has changed. Right? I have no idea what to do with a baby. So think about Mary and Joseph now. They're holding a baby, right? A baby that the angels told them would be king. They're holding a baby that the angels had said was going to transform the world and save his people from their sins. They're holding a baby whose birth announcement was written in Isaiah 9:6, over 700 years before the baby was be born, that they're holding in their hands the Prince of Peace. And they lay him down in that manger, and as they do, they have to be thinking, this is not what we expected when the angels visited. This is not how we planned this baby being born. And if they were thinking that, they were exactly right, weren't they? None of this was their plan. The baby, the census, the travel, the inn, the manger, no mother plans that. Make sure that as you think about, as you ponder the miracle of Christmas, you understand that God is right in the middle of every little detail we see. Christmas reminds us in this miraculously real way that even when we don't know what's going on, even when we're walking through something that is not our plan, we see here that God has a plan. And not only do we see that God has a plan, we see that we can trust God's plan. Think about it. It was God's plan for them to have a baby. It was God's plan that it would be 70 miles from home to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies that the baby, the Savior, would be born in Bethlehem. And have you ever stopped to think about that little detail, how that happened? Look at verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. I mean, God moved the entire world to get Jesus to Bethlehem. He could have created a scenario where Mary and Joseph go down there for family or for work or any number of things, but God shows us as he moves the world that everything is in his control. He's at work in the major, and he's in the work in the smallest of detail to send a Savior who would be born, who would be wrapped in those clothes, laid in the manger, who would live a perfect life, and ultimately die and rise again. And it was all part of God's plan to bring peace to your heart, to bring peace to your relationship with God. Look at verse 8. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. They were keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The angel said, "Behold," it's his way of saying, "Everybody look at me. I bring you good news. And when we hear the phrase good news, we lean in, don't we? Doesn't matter how big or how little it is. If there's good news, we want to be a part of it. Last night, we were celebrating Christmas with family, and I went out, ran an errand, and I got back into the house, and I hear good news. We didn't eat all the chocolate cake. There's some left on the counter, right? They started without me, but there were some left. Good news. I leaned into that. Some of you got good news this week, or maybe even today. You heard, hey, the family's going to be able to get together for Christmas after all. You heard your kids were coming, or your grandkids were coming. That's good news. You leaned in to that. Some of you've got a call from the doctor recently, and they say, hey, good news. Everything's gone, right? We're moving in a good direction. When we hear good news, we lean in. Have you thought about why? Hope. All right, good news, it gives us hope. The angels, when they brought good news, they were bringing hope that first Christmas. And here it is, look at verse 11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of angels praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. The Prince of Peace, Isaiah wrote about 730 years before this moment, is here. Jesus came to bring peace on earth. That's the good news of Christmas. It's this message from the angels, glory ever rising from man to God and peace ever falling from God to man. And God did it in the most unbelievable way possible, through a child that was born. Again, the birth announcement went out hundreds of years before Jesus was born, generations before. God's plan to bring peace very clearly did not happen on man's timeline. God made the promise, and then man had to wait patiently. And if we're really honest, some of us struggle with patience, don't we? Some of you are trying to be patient as you wait on a last package to get in right now, aren't you? Maybe you've checked your phone once or twice to see if it's shown up at your door this morning. Listen, Christmas, it reminds us that God keeps his promises. He said a child would be born to bring peace, and it happened right here. And God puts this exclamation point on it with the angels as they filled the sky. The Christmas moment, what these kids acted out up here, didn't come out of nowhere. It wasn't random. It wasn't unexpected. It was the long-awaited fulfillment of the plans and promises of God. And all through the Bible, we see this remnant, this faithful people of God waiting for him to keep his promise. A question that I've got for us this morning is this: Do we still live with the expectation that God is going to keep his promises to us? Because he's made a lot of them. All right, so let me encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't find your own way. If things aren't happening in your timeline, find joy in the Christmas story, right? Let this Christmas and every Christmas be a season that encourages, refreshes, and fills your heart with peace as you remember that God keeps his promises. And the promise that we're looking at today is the promise that God has to give us peace from our Prince of Peace. Remember that because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. Right? Our peace is available because of Jesus. The peace that we have is because of this Christmas story, that Jesus was willing to step out of heaven and be born and wrapped in those clothes and laid in that manger. He was willing to live a perfect life among an imperfect people, ultimately laying his life down on the cross. And when we place our trust in him, our sin is forgiven and it's replaced by the peace of God. Romans 10 says, if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. And that saving, that salvation in us, it brings peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have peace with God, let me just tell you that we can live with peace in our hearts in the midst of a very difficult and trying world. Jesus said in John 16, I've said these things to you that in me, that's in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, Jesus says, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. If you are walking through life right now and you're thinking my mind or my heart doesn't feel very peaceful, if you're walking through this world and looking around and you're saying this world is full of turmoil and trouble and it doesn't feel very peaceful, let me just remind you that peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Jesus. That's why the angels that first Christmas could shout with joy that because of Jesus, peace was here. If you've been searching for peace, if your mind or heart has been unsettled, I want to encourage you today to trust Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world. And when you do, you'll find that peace. And when you experience the peace that only comes from Jesus, you're going to tell others about it. Look at the end of this story. Luke 2, starting in verse 17, we see the shepherds. They hear this message about peace from God, from the angels. They go and find the baby, the Savior, the child that's been wrapped in the clothes and in the manger. They experience it firsthand for themselves. And the Bible says when they leave there, they tell everyone they encounter about the peace that God has sent in the form of the Savior that has been born. They did not keep it to themselves. Let's follow their lead. Right, let's don't keep the peace that comes from knowing Jesus to ourselves. Let's tell everyone. Christmas season and every season. Listen, at Christmas time, I love reading Luke 2. I love talking about what our kids showed us earlier. I love talking about it in here. I love talking about it with my kids. I love talking about it with our family. And a lot of times we talk about what we call the Christmas story. But let me just leave you with this reminder. Right? It's not just a story. It's more than that. Right, the event of Christmas is history. It really happened. Right, it happened on a real day in history. It happened in a real city in the world. Right, Jesus was born and he came to bring peace. He is our light that leads to life. He saves us from our sins, and we can celebrate because of Christmas. Glory to God and peace to man. All month, we've worked through Isaiah 8 and 9. The end of Isaiah 8, because of sin, it says the people entered into a great and gloomy darkness. Then in chapter 9, we get this birth announcement. A baby is going to come and change everything. A baby is going to come and bring light back to the people of God. And Jesus says in John 8, 12, hey, that one that Isaiah talked about, he said, that's me. John 8, 12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And we're going to worship our Prince of Peace, our light of the world, in just a few minutes as we close. And when we do, we're going to light these candles. We're going to hold them up here in the room, and it's going to be this visual reminder for us that we have peace with God because of Jesus, our light of the world. But when you blow those candles out, the light's still shining, right? As you walk through the Christmas season, when you see the lights and the colors and the decorations, let your mind and heart give thanks because of the light of the world, our Prince of Peace, our Savior, Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? As we bow, we want to just take a minute and thank God for sending Jesus. Thank God for letting us know that the Prince of Peace was coming, that he would be born, that he would be there to give light to a dark, dark world. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for that. And Lord, this Christmas season, we want to worship you because of that. We want to praise you because of that. We want our minds and hearts to be on you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.